The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Georgene Rice Show podcast. This program was originally broadcast live on 93.9 KPDQ. We hope you enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Georgene Rice Show. My name is Mike Lee, filling in for Georgene, and I also get to host a ministry spotlight program called Difference Makers, which airs on True Talk 800 Fridays, Saturdays, and Monday afternoons at 1. And it also airs Saturdays at 1 p.m. on 93.9 KPDQ. And I'd love to talk to you about how to introduce our audience to your church through our church service live stream directory, how to possibly qualify for hosting your own radio program, how to become an authority and expand the reach of your ministry or business both on the air and through our state-of-the-art digital and online resources through our Salem Surround marketing branch, how to host one of our station's events after the world reopens, and it will, and bring people to your church or business at no risk to you. And most importantly, if your pastor or ministry leader could use a phone call, a word of encouragement, or a connection to others, please email me at mikelee@kpdq.com. That's mikelee@kpdq.com. Very special guest right now is the lead pastor of Verbatim Church. That's about to launch at the Heritage Mall in Albany coming up on Sunday, February 7th, starting at 10 a.m. It's also going to be live streamed. Check out the website verbatim.church and also make sure to follow Verbatim Church on Facebook. So welcome lead pastor Kyle Mitchell. How are you today, my friend?
I am fantastic, Mike. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Always good to catch up with you, and especially because we just kind of hit it off ever since I moved out from Oregon, and I love to see the progress that God has used you for over the years, going back to being a founding member of the band Cutlass as its drummer, and more recently as the lead pastor of Deaver Connor Calvary Chapel. So now, what's up with Verbatim Church at the Heritage Mall in Albany? Can you tell us about the transition from Deaver Connor to Verbatim Church?
Absolutely. Yeah, we're same church, same mission, same folks, but just coming into, what was that, I guess late 2019, pre-pandemic, all that, the Lord for several months, maybe even about a year, had just been putting it on our hearts that we were just hitting some obstacles and kind of some low ceilings and the way our church was set up and the facility we were in. We'd been remodeling for a long time and fighting it. We were on porta potties for 18 months and all this stuff and skunk problems and ladybug infestations and just different obstacles there for growth. We were kind of starting to hit some of those limits on parking and a neat country church that the Lord sort of called us to replant and reestablish. So as we started to look at our options, we just thought, man, you know, it's all for the mission. It's all for reaching people for Christ. And that led us to, you know, prayerfully go, I think we need to rebrand a little bit to a name that's better suiting for us and easier to say and spell and remember. And then also just to get, you know, out from being out in the country. We were kind of in a, you know, 15-minute drive in a direction no one was going, to saying we want to be in the heart of our city, taking the same message, the same work God's been doing, but just make it easier to visit, easier to remember, easy to find us. It doesn't get much easier than the mall.
I think especially for people who might not be blessed with easy transportation, to be able to take mass transit to the Heritage Mall in Albany to go to church, that's got to be a blessing for a lot of people who maybe were less likely to drive out to the country to the Deaver Connor Calvary Chapel. And I need to give you credit where it's due. You and your church did such a wonderful job renovating that building, making it hip, making it a fun place to attend. Thanks so much for hosting that Mark Lee from Third Day concert a few years back. What a good time that was.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it really is that thing. And, you know, for us, it's something the Lord's put deeply in our DNA. And I pray for other church leaders too, that, you know, everything belongs to God. We like to say that when we need something. God owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, we say, you know, and it's nice when he slaughters a few for me. But we really looked at it saying, you know, there was 70 years of history at that church before many of us showed up, and we weren't trying to profit off the past. So even though because some people were like, man, aren't you bummed? You put so much work into that building and now you're just going to leave it. And I said, well, no, it's still for the kingdom. Albany Missionary Baptist is now in that space. We're so excited for them, and they're getting to expand what the Lord's doing with them and finish up some of the stuff we hadn't finished yet. And so it's all for the kingdom. You know, we didn't even really sell the building at anywhere near what it was worth. We just thought there's no reason for churches to be price gouging other churches. It's all for the kingdom. So they just kind of kicked us what we had put into the remodel. So we left whole and we just went on our way. So it's where there was, you know, it's still happening. Different people, same mission.
I love when we, the church, are able to help each other out in such ways. I bet Albany Missionary was looking for a building for a while before they stumbled upon your move, right?
Yeah, like 3 years, and had gone down the route on two or three other buildings. It just didn't work out. And yeah, so they're just beyond excited, and we're just happy to gain more people. I didn't know them, so we're just, it just feels like all upside to us.
So you're a jack of all trades type, Kyle. I remember you did some water piping in your house, or was it the church? I forget. That looked amazing. It was a thing of beauty to see all of these valves and this PEX piping that you'd put in. So tell me how the renovation is going as you set up Verbatim Church at the Heritage Mall. Was there a lot to change? I mean, what was formerly in what's going to be Verbatim Church come February 7th?
Yeah, I was just talking to my wife about this last night, saying, you know, me and Tanner and Maddie, my two full-time staff guys and some other volunteers, we've just been, you know, working these long days. But really, in 6 weeks' time, we will have fundamentally transformed an Allstate insurance office, which was kind of the smaller Sears hometown store, and the old Tilt arcade I grew up playing pinball in. And hoop shoot with those three spaces, you know, into a church and a cafe. The cafe is kind of pending because we can't have indoor dining yet, and a film studio, and all this stuff we're putting together. But what's nice about it is, you know, I spent probably collectively about 2.5 years feeling like a bivocational pastor with a tool belt on, you know, out in the country church there. So it's remarkable to see how much we've done in 6 weeks, because at the mall, you know, we didn't have to do any of the systems. You know, out in the country, I'm down in the tunnels. We're cutting out concrete. We're doing plumbing and engineering and insulation and things that, you know, all new wiring, all that kind of stuff. At the mall, the Lord really had prepared those three spaces to suit our layout and our need just right, so that we haven't had to put up a single wall, anything like that. It's just been building the stage and flying the sound system and light. In fact, our trussing, I'm getting messages from my guys right now. All of our new light trussing just arrived. So we're still in there busting it for the next couple weeks. But it's like, you know, swinging two bats before you go up to the plate. You know, we've been carrying such a heavy load of remodeling that the mall renovation probably would seem like a lot to many, but man, it's felt kind of like easy lifting for us after what we did out there.
Relative to what you're used to, this is not quite a walk in the park, but it's certainly easier than many of the major renovations you did at your previous building, right?
Yeah. Yep. And not to be missed, too, just some different tradespeople in our community that love the Lord. We just, man, have been blessing us like crazy. We got Joel Dahl from Dahled Up Construction, just him and guys that didn't even work on his crew. They just came and painted the whole interior, all professional paint. The whole ceiling had to get blacked out, everything. And they all donated their time and labor. And then he used his connection with, Sherwin Williams, and they donated a ton of the paint. And then he told me the guy from the flooring company that he knows is going to come put flooring in our bathroom. So we've just had this outpouring of love from our community. I think even though not everybody knows us specifically, there's something that's quick and easy to just want to get on board with Church of the Mall. You know, I think you instantly just get like, there's something about that church that they're really going all in to get rid of their paid off owned property. Not to be missed. Most people are trying to go from renting and portable to ownership. And we just said, we want to go the other way and get to where the people are. So people, yeah, it's been a collective thing, and I'm shocked to say that we are under budget and on schedule. That never happens.
Well, God bless all of those suppliers and contractors who donated or helped out with their time as well as their resources. So I'm very, very happy for you. Lead Pastor Kyle Mitchell, and what's your vision for Verbatim Church at the Heritage Mall in Albany as you launch at 10 a.m. Sunday, February 7th?
Yeah, our vision there is what we've always been about. You know, it's just teaching God's word and just bringing his story of grace and redemption and hope to our city. You know, we live in a pretty unchurched part of the country, as you well know. And so we just love to see those kind of light bulb moments and those sparks ignited in people's hearts when they're just exposed to the word and to God's grace and his forgiveness. And so it's really, honestly, it's the same thing we've been doing, but we just kind of feel like we've been doing it in hiding a little bit. And now we get to do it in what we jokingly call the fishbowl. We got big glass windows right on the front of all of our spaces. And so some of our services will just be people shopping and milling around the mall, and we'll be in there worshiping. So it's just giving us that chance to have that exposure. But ultimately, it's not to build our brand or build our following, but just to say, hey, we have the message of hope, a message people need. It's life and death kind of stuff that we do. So we just want to reach as many people as we can.
All the information is at verbatim.church. That's verbatim.church. More with Kyle Mitchell next on The Georgine Rice Show. I'm Mike Lee, filling in for Georgine.
You're listening to The Georgine Rice Show podcast. It's aired on 93.9 KPDQ.
Welcome back to The Georgine Rice Show. I'm Mike Lee, filling in. Pastor Kyle Mitchell leads Verbatim Church, and it's launching at the Heritage Mall in Albany Sunday, February 7th, starting at 10 a.m., so make sure that you make it down to the Heritage Mall. And if you can't, they'll also be live streaming the service. The website is verbatim.church. That's verbatim.church. Well, you're certainly taking church into the marketplace by your move to the Heritage Mall in Albany. Yeah. That's really exciting, Kyle. I'm so very happy for you.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. It's what's kind of fun is the people who own the mall here, it's an investment group out of New York. They own like 65 malls around the country, and we are the first church they've placed in one of their properties. And it was even kind of odd for them at first, trying to wrap their head around it. And we actually kind of feel like this ambassador that's going to set a precedence for our city, and maybe even for this owner group that we're a part of, that they might start to see the value of how we can pack the food courts on Sundays and keep people coming to the mall in a time of a decline in retail. We feel like, man, we can really not just bring the gospel and the good news, right, of course, but also just be seen as somebody building the economy in our city and helping people maintain their jobs and keeping stores open and restaurants and the like. And so we really like that side of it too, our potential to impact the economy here in our city.
Well, certainly one of the after effects of this pandemic has been, it's been so tough on small businesses. And I'm sure that many store fronts have had to shut down from the mall. So at least having a ministry move in gives them some business over empty storefronts. So I think that's a win-win situation. And if there are any other pastors out there that might be sparked by your idea, I'm not saying that everyone should follow a different model outside of trying to follow what God's trying to do with their individual church. But what do you think might be some good indicators that renting might be a better option than owning a property?
Yeah, so that is tough to say. There's definitely merit and value in both. And I wouldn't say that we'd never own a property again. But in my situation, like I said, we just spent, my whole ministry has been spent as much time in sort of the category of property management efforts as it has in the ministry. And I just look at my worship leader, creative director, I look at my kids minister, youth pastor, all these people, and I go, I just want to see all of us, myself included. I'm an aspiring author. I've got this stuff I'm working on in podcast or YouTube content. I just go, the enemy potentially is actually loving watching us spin our wheels, cutting grass. We had 2 acres, a 5-bedroom house, a 18,000 square foot church, and we spent all of our time doing maintenance and doing pest control and cutting, you know, like all this stuff. And we just went, imagine what could happen more for the mission if we could convert all those hours and all those dollars into frontline ministry efforts. So for us, it was just this thing, like, you know, we had a property that would otherwise probably require a couple staff people, but we just were, you know, when I came in, it was a church of 30 people. So you don't have groundskeepers and head of maintenance departments and all this stuff. So maybe that's one indicator for someone else listening. It's like, if you're a pastor and you spend more time doing property management and painting fascia boards and unclogging gutters and fixing roof leaks, and I would maybe challenge you to go, is that what you're called to? Are you called to maintenance or ministry? And that was it for us. We just said, you know, no one here, owning things isn't of great gain to us. We're not a privately held company. It's not of any significance to any one person's portfolio that we own assets. We just need to make sure that the giving coming in matches what it takes to meet. But now we're just, you know, we have heat and AC. We have a roof that doesn't leak. We have everything we need. Maintenance people just come by and fix stuff in our space. The janitorial staff is so great over at the mall, and they're using the floor scrubber every night. And we have just been so set free to do the exacting things God has called us to right inside our gifting and get out of property management. So that could be one angle. Of course, for us too, it was also an issue of address. We loved our property, but there was nothing we could do to pick it up and move it to where people are. And so for us, it was worth losing ownership to gain exposure.
And knowing you, Kyle Mitchell, I'm sure that you and all of the good people at Verbatim Church will be life witnesses to the people you inevitably will bump into at the Heritage Mall in Albany.
Oh, yeah. I've already cried twice just sitting in the church, sitting in an empty Sears crying like a baby, just because, you know, that's that thing we've always lacked. And so we, of course, assumed those type of opportunities would become more of our day-to-day reality. And boy, have they. And it just has overwhelmed me a couple times. And a quick, if you'll indulge, one quick story of that was just one. We were trying to get to know all the security and janitorial staff and maintenance crew and all that. And one guy had come by, and it was actually Christmas Eve, but in the morning. And we had a small Christmas Eve gathering that night, but in the morning, he came by. I hadn't met him yet. And I said, oh, hey, nice to meet you. How's your Christmas season going? And he said, not that great, actually, and explained that his wife had been sick and in the hospital, and she was being transferred to like a care facility to kind of rehab. And it looked like she was going to be okay, but they were apart for the holiday. And he just was sad about it. And I said, man, can I pray for you? So it's just that moment right there, standing out in the open in the mall, praying for one of the hard workers there, the custodial staff. And we finished prayer. And you know, I was so jumped into the story, you know, I just kind of even forgot to get his name in the moment. I said, what's your name? He said, Joe. I said, oh, thanks for letting me pray for you, Joe. And before he walked away, he goes, oh, yeah, hey, and my wife's name is Mary. Thank you. And I was telling my wife the story later, getting ready for Christmas Eve service, and she put the dots together I missed, which is I prayed for Joseph and Mary on Christmas Eve, you know, and I just, oh, that's so good. And I just was so moved. Yeah, we just want to be used by God, and that's what we're saying, just for us, a change of address. It's just giving us those opportunities.
God's got the best sense of humor, Kyle, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He was the founding drummer of the band Cutlass. He studied theology and pastoral ministry at Warner Pacific College. One of his many mentors was the amazing pastor Brett Metter of Athey Creek Christian Fellowship and the radio ministry Day by Day. And now Pastor Kyle Mitchell is the lead pastor of Verbatim Church at the Heritage Mall, launching in Albany Sunday, February 7th. All the information is at verbatim.church. That's verbatim.church. More with Kyle Mitchell next on The Georgine Rice Show. I'm Mike Lee, filling in for Georgine.
You're listening to The Georgine Rice Show podcast. It's aired on 93.9 KPDQ.
Welcome back to The Georgine Rice Show. I'm Mike Lee filling in. Pastor Kyle Mitchell leads Verbatim Church, and it's launching at the Heritage Mall in Albany Sunday, February 7th, starting at 10 a.m. So make sure that you make it down to the Heritage Mall. And if you can't, they'll also be live streaming the service. The website is verbatim.church. That's verbatim.church. They'll also be on Facebook. So, Kyle, how has it been for you as a lead pastor of a church that's changing locations in the middle of a pandemic?
Easy, man. Next question. No. Yeah, it's been wild, right? That's what was so crazy is that, you know, the Lord had moved on our hearts to relocate and to rename our church and to go that way before the pandemic. So we were already saying things to the body like, hey, the church isn't a place, it's a people. We were kind of, our hearts were in that place with the thought of relocating. So when the pandemic hit, man, God was so good to us. It's like we had like advance warning or something. We were already in that headspace, and we'd already about a year prior invested in, you know, high-end camera gear and live streaming and whatnot. So where a lot of churches and a lot of pastors were really kind of, you know, smacked with that and trying to figure out the technology, my background and my amazing team, we just, that's an easy subject for us. So, man, praise God. We were able to quickly transition to live stream only and begin. If anything, if I'm being honest, the online only has helped a little bit because it's kind of an advantageous way to relocate. There's no way pre-pandemic I could have ever gotten away with saying to the congregation, hey, we're going to relocate. It's going to be really stressful. We're going to, you know, think we found a place and have it fall through about three or four times. And while we do all that, if you guys would just tune in on Facebook on Sunday mornings for like 10 months, we'd appreciate that. You know, you'd never get away with that. But everyone had to do that. And so for us, we've used that time wisely to relocate and move. And in fact, for 6 of those months, we actually, you know, got out of the building out in the country and we built a film set at my house in my garage. And so for 6 months, we were, this was Verbatim Church headquarters right here at my house. And we did it that way. But it's been a wild ride. The other thing that I would say has been honestly a little helpful for us until now, it's kept us out of the difficult leadership decisions about what to do and how to gather, how to meet, as all my other friends and, you know, pastoring churches have had to make those tough decisions. We've just been like, I don't even have that option. We're in my garage. We have no location. We've sold the other building and we haven't landed something new yet. And so we're now having to have those talks of what that's going to look like on the 7th moving forward. And so it's been a difficult time, but God's been so faithful. We're kind of one of the churches that have seen, you know, a growth in our engagement through the pandemic. Our live stream, again, Maddie Mills, my creative director, has just crushed it. I mean, think of this. Twice we've moved entire locations from a Sunday to a Sunday. He moves every light, camera, everything. We relocate, and it goes off without a hitch. I mean, that's wild to completely move a film broadcast and in 1 week. And so he's just been busting it and God's been faithful and people are tuning in and we just pumped to start to see the whites of their eyes for real.
Well, you've always been so comfortable in front of people, in front of crowds, Kyle. So how has it been adjusting to being in front of a camera and very few people?
Yeah, again, for me, not much of a learning curve. I was kind of forged in those fires in the entertainment industry and doing radio stuff like this and camera work and having lights glaring on me, all that's pretty native to me. So I'm thankful for that, that God prepared me in those ways. I would say, though, that I'm also a very social person and I'm a very, people-oriented guy. And so it's been wild, you know, just preaching without that feedback of that, you know, the human interaction. I'm really thinking I don't have I'm not sure I know what's about to hit me when I try to stand before a congregation and preach. I think I might just turn into a puddle, like just a baby, or just be so overjoyed. Or I don't think I realize how much I miss the people until they're going to be back in the room, you know, little by little. And you know, when I tell jokes, there's no laughter. I think that that used to happen too, I guess, when people are in the room, but I digress. But no, it's just, you don't get any of that feedback. I miss amen. I miss hallelujah. I mean, my team, the broadcast team, does that stuff, but you know, on a bigger scale, it's just that energy you can have and just get going. And I miss that greatly, but we're hanging in there. We're doing okay.
I'm glad to hear that, Kyle. You know, you are far from the only pastor who's been suffering from not having the congregation directly in front of him or directly in front of her. So I hope this is a great celebration, not only for the church going to the Heritage Mall to celebrate the launch of Verbatim Church, but for you as well. Be sure to take a moment and smile and soak it in and thank God for the returned experience of being in front of a congregation. Do you think that it's important for us as humans and as Christians to have this in-person interaction as good as the video live streaming has gotten?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And we are 100% on board with live streaming. We were before the pandemic. We're going to continue to double down. We see great value in digital ministry moving forward. But yeah, getting together is so key, so important. I just think there's like, you can teach the word through a camera. I'm not even sure that's been that much, been that effective. You know, content goes out well over a camera, but fellowship, that koinonia, being involved in people's lives, praying for one another. We do that. We broadcast for 30 minutes after the teaching is done to continue. We try to create that thing that happens in the sanctuary naturally. So we're in there. We're sending selfies to each other to make sure, you know, to remind each other we still exist. We're praying for one another on camera. We're doing whatever we can, but it's just not the same. And, you know, we just had a couple things really hit us lately of, you know, one was our team, when we closed the sale, we ended up going out to Las Vegas. We're tied in with Calvary Chapel Las Vegas out there, and great opportunity for networking and ministry stuff with them. And we just, we ended up out there all together, kind of just, it was a stressful sale as real estate transactions are. And one of the things is Nevada just wasn't anywhere near as locked down as Oregon. And so we all together, we went to a back room at Calvary Las Vegas, and we did our Sunday morning live stream on site there at CCLV. And then we just went to church. And that was kind of an afterthought. We're like, yeah, we're going to go do our broadcast on location. And then we're going to, and then we went into church. We sat like in the second row. And at the end, we all just said, I forgot how much I miss real church, real worship, live interact. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And we just all left with that renewed sense of like, when we get home, it's time to hit the ground running. We had just signed our lease with the mall. People need this. And when they did a chance for salvation, an altar call, and we saw real human beings walk down a real aisle and give their lives over to Jesus, I just went, internet's cool, live stream's cool. We need to open our doors ASAP because God wants to do the same work in our city. And we got to get open to do it. I'd also seen an interesting article right about that same time, and it was a secular survey done, and they were, as always, they were astounded by the results, where it said basically the question was to gauge people's decline in mental health during this pandemic year, an election year, and everything going on, and they were categorizing the results, saying, you know, first responders and teachers and different types of groups of people, and then rating their decline in mental health. But what they found so surprising was there was one category of people that didn't report a decline in mental health at all collectively. And they were, I'm glad they published their findings, even though I'm sure it went against their worldview, but it said churchgoers, people tuning into live streams and going to churches that they have that opportunity. They were like, no, we're fine. We're kind of built for this. We have hope that transcends our circumstances. We worship the healer, and we're not afraid to die, you know? So whatever combination of all those things, it was just like, we have joy that transcends this. And it just reminded me, like, people need this. There's a lot of mental health decline going on, and it's just time to get open. So it'll be interesting to see how, again, how we navigate what the kind of that tension between what the Bible calls us to do and what Governor Kate Brown would like to see us doing. We'll see how that goes in the fishbowl.
When we return, more with lead pastor Kyle Mitchell from Verbatim Church. I'm Mike Lee, filling in for Georgine on The Georgine Rice Show.
You're listening to The Georgine Rice Show podcast. It's aired on 93.9 KPDQ.
You're listening to The Georgine Rice Show. I'm Mike Lee, filling in for Georgine. Very exciting, Pastor Kyle Mitchell of Verbatim Church at the Heritage Mall in Albany, launching 10 a.m. Sunday, February 7th, also being live streamed. All the information is at verbatim.church. That's verbatim.church. So, Kyle, because of the pandemic and all of the live streaming that you were already doing, have you met any new faces that you're expecting to see for the first time at this launch service for Verbatim Church?
Yeah. Like I said, we've picked up people along the live stream. that had never attended a live service. I'll probably have some fun with it on that first Sunday. One of those things we joke about too is the last 18 months we were in our building in Deaver Connor, we had no indoor plumbing. So we were on porta potties. So even during that time, we even had a pregnant lady who came to our church, got pregnant, had a whole pregnancy and delivered a baby and still had never gone to church where she could flush a toilet indoors. You know, we're like, wow, that's so amazing. And so we're going to have some fun with that, sort of saying, hey, if you've never been to a live church service of ours at all, kind of identify yourself. Or if you've been to our church before, but you've never actually flushed a toilet at our church, you know, raise your hand. And so we're going to have some fun with that, but it's great. We've also seen an uptick in people watching outside of our geographic kind of drive radius. And so that's kind of an interesting thing developing as well, is that I've got my new buddy Paul up in Washington State, and some of my family up in Vancouver. We got different people that have been finding us in different ways that have just said, hey, I can't go to church anywhere right now. And just something really connected with them on our live stream. And they've been tuning in and sending in comments and prayer requests. And so it's been fun to see Verbatim Church start to have a little spattering of people, you know, outside of even our region. And saying things like, well, man, we might have to make a road trip down and see the place in the mall and what have you. So yeah, we're getting a little more spread out, but definitely there will be people there on the 7th that have just been live streaming that we're looking forward to meeting in person, no doubt.
Well, it's wonderful they stumbled upon you, whether it's at verbatim.church or on a Facebook live stream. So geographically, where is the person who's discovered Verbatim Church from the farthest away? From the longest distance?
Well, I would say the farthest, boy, that's discovered it. Like I said, yeah, definitely some people up kind of in northern Washington that would be currently right now hanging with us every Sunday. We have a couple that met us here but have moved out to the East Coast that are still kind of watching here and there. But yeah, so it's getting out there, no doubt.
I'm so glad to hear that, Kyle. And for those who might be more, say, immunocompromised, perhaps people who are older or who've had transplants in the past and who are on the fence about whether to attend Verbatim live in person at the Heritage Mall in Albany or through your live stream, can you tell us what preparations you've made for people coming to your church?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, you know, the basics there on site. Even the mall, that's, again, partnering with them is kind of nice because they also are meeting the state's requirements. So they have a table that's open to every patron at the mall, but it's got masks and sanitizer on it. And we have it right outside of our facility there. We're going to be doing, you know, basic wash down, clean down things and what have you. But we are going to go with, you know, kind of letting people be free. So it's going to be interesting and we'll see what kind of heat we take for that. We take the pandemic seriously, no doubt. In fact, we kind of actually just let the church know, I think a week ago, but our entire staff and key volunteers and broadcast team and we all got coronavirus last year. We all got it. We kind of think of ourselves as frontline workers too, that we don't, there's nothing we're going to not do because of coronavirus and serving our community. So we just, we're out there and doing what we had to do, and we all got it. We joke, we're kind of like the first church in Acts, having all things in common. You know, one of us goes down, we all go down. And so, hey, I did my time on the couch. I got pretty walloped by it. We're all young enough to take a little bit more of that risk and come out. Even my dad, I mean, my dad spent some time in the hospital from it, and he's doing better now. So we take it serious. We know it. I felt it. But we also try to look at the blessed side of that, which is we also feel like a full staff and broadcast team that's really, really, truly ready to serve our community, feeling kind of, you know, feeling pretty immune. I've had it and not afraid of it. So if somebody else gets it in the congregation, man, I'll bring them soup. No big deal. I'm not an immunologist. I don't know how it all works, but we do take it serious. We don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want to see anything be, you know, negligent in that way. But I also know that not going to church also has health risks, mentally, spiritually, physically. And so we can't just talk about coronavirus in a vacuum, that it's everything's going to be great unless you get it. Well, there's a lot of mental health decline and a lot of depression and a lot of abuse and a lot of hopelessness out there. And so we just are willing to kind of balance the scales and go, there's always been an inherent risk to going to church, to your health. We always send something around every year. This one is more serious, but for those that are wanting to take that risk and wanting to gather, and they can wear masks and we'll give you a big thumbs up. And if you want to be free and not wear one, we'll give you a big thumbs up, and the leadership and the pastors will just kind of carry that burden, I guess, for the body, and we'll see what happens. But we just feel like people are free, and at church more than ever, we just want people to feel free and feel comfortable. It's no judgment, but also no authoritarian mandates either. So we're just going to let people be free adults and gather. That's why we thumbs up if you want to stay home and watch. We validate that. You're not a second-class verbatim citizen from home. So live stream, in-person, mask, no mask. We'll have it all available. It's all up to you.
You can check out their live stream at the website verbatim.church. Make sure to follow Verbatim Church on Facebook. And they'll be launching at the Heritage Mall in Albany Sunday, February 7th, starting at 10 a.m., when we return, more with lead pastor Kyle Mitchell from Verbatim Church. I'm Mike Lee, filling in for Georgine on The Georgine Rice Show.
You're listening to The Georgine Rice Show podcast. It's aired on 93.9 KPDQ.
You're listening to The Georgine Rice Show. I'm Mike Lee, filling in for Georgine. And it's always good to catch up with my dear friend, lead pastor Kyle Mitchell down in Albany. The church he pastors used to be called Deaver Connor Calvary Chapel, but starting on Sunday, February 7th, they've moved to the Heritage Mall in Albany with a 10 a.m. start. So we're very excited about Verbatim Church. So Kyle, thanks so much for spending time out of this busy move and renovation and preparation for your launch service. So it made sense for you to call Deaver Connor Calvary Chapel its name because, well, you were in Deaver Connor. But now that you've moved to the Heritage Mall in Albany, is there any particular reason that you picked the name Verbatim Church?
Absolutely, yeah. So that you kind of pegged one of the first reasons, which is we knew that God was, asking us to relocate. And so right away we realized that to have a geographic name is sort of problematic, and that it makes it tricky to, move your church when it's located by name, in the city, in the community it's in Deaver Connor there. So we knew, hey, you can't do Deaver Connor Community Church not in Deaver Connor, so we need to look into this. And we took that deep dive and had a lot of fun and jokes of, sarcastic, terrible church names and things like that. But Verbatim is actually a word from my past. When I first came off the road touring with the band Cutlass, like you said, I was just blessed to be the founding drummer of that and do the first three albums and take that ride when I was a really young guy. And I actually started a recording studio and a record company and was working and doing artist development deals and helping other bands get record deals and production and stuff like that. And when I had that, I actually called it Verbatim Records. And so it's a word that's been with me a long time. But verbatim is just the Latin word that means word for word. And so being a Calvary Chapel church and coming out of, like you mentioned, Athey Creek Christian Fellowship, I started there back when it was just a couple hundred people in the middle school. And Pastor Brett, that's my pastor and my friend and my mentor and married my wife and I, buried my mom. That's my pastor. And so I've just been soaked in that culture of just teaching through the word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. We just love the word of God and teaching it cover to cover. And so for us, it was a name that really embodied all of that, that we want to teach the Bible word for word and all of it. And we're sort of biblical literalists and the whole like. So Verbatim Church, it just really felt to us, maybe for lack of a better term, like an obedience brand to say, hey, we just want to stick to the Bible word for word. Our vision statement is church is a verb, word for word. So we kind of stick a lot in there saying, hey, church isn't just a place to go learn and get sort of become a overfed spiritual couch potato, but to say, hey, church is a verb. Church is something we do. The church is the people, and it's not just learning the word, but learning it and putting it into action. So we like that idea of a verb as an action word, and that we're also just wanting to, you know, study and learn and be soaked in the whole counsel of God. So that's kind of the idea there of verbatim church in the name. It also was available. You know, churches are funny like that, where there's a lot of churches that have the same name in each state and don't have anything to do with each other. And I, being sort of a fan of branding and those sorts of things, I took a deep dive and found that no church in the history of the world has ever been called verbatim church. It was one simple word. Every single bit of .com and social media was available. And I actually went as far as to trademark it in the United States. So it was trademarkable. And so we have verbatim church, the one and the only. And so it's kind of fun to know that we have a church name that is only us on the internet. It just helps us differentiate ourselves out there. So it's kind of fun.
Congratulations on making yourself so easy to find at verbatim.church and also on Facebook, Kyle.
Yeah. And I got the tattoo. And no, I don't have a tattoo. I don't have a tattoo.
I wouldn't be surprised if you did, Kyle.
Maybe someday. Yeah, someday. Coming soon.
So knowing fully well that there's no good or bad or right or wrong when it comes to naming a church, can you give us a list of some of the ones that just weren't the right fit for yours? What got turned down? What got the thumbs down from you and your staff?
Oh, man. Let me think here. What got turned down? It's like naming bands, right? It quickly spirals out of control into absurdity when you get with my staff to come up with names. I can't even remember what was out there.
So I guess Callbox Church wasn't on the short list, wasn't it? Cutlass's former name.
Yeah. Oh, you're going way back. He's going in the way back machine right there. Yeah, there was a bunch of them that just didn't make the cut. And well, it's tricky because, like I said, the trademark law is even interesting because they say any word that's generically associated with Christianity, it can't be trademarked. So that's why you can have a Dayspring or a Grace Fellowship or a, you know, all these kind of words that are closely associated with Christianity. That's why you can have them in every state and every city, because nobody can own them. So it was weird that we found a word that to me seems so easily, you know, shortcuts right to the scriptures, just verbatim, word for word. That's what we're about. But it's not deemed by the government to be a Christian word. So they allowed it to be trademarked. But anyways, I don't really remember all the rejects. But I would say, though, that we at least collectively as a team wrote down or said out loud or discussed 1,000 church names. And then I would say 15 or so got real amount of time. You get it down to 5, you get it down to 3. And then you take that leap. So we had a couple others that'd be like, well, there's one other church called this in Indiana. 'Cause that was basically the difficult task I put before us was, I want something no one's ever used before. So we'd find something cool, and then we'd find one. And I'd be like, nope, it's over. It's off. It's off the table.
It's not always easy to do. I mean, part of my job is putting Facebook postings up for whoever's going to be the next guest interviewee. And I'm telling you, so many pastors and churches are difficult to tag on social media. It's just horrible sometimes. I spend more time trying to tag and untag than actually doing the interview.
Right. Well, and then the danger is, oh, I can find a unique church name no one's used before, but there's a reason nobody's used that before. Right. So then you get into the really obscure or the names that sound like you're trying way too hard to be, you know, hip and relevant. And so I was like, I don't want something that sounds like we're trying too hard. And I want it to be simple and short, because, again, we were playing against what we've always had, which is a hard to say, hard to pronounce, hard to spell, multi-word, four-word church. You know, we had all that. So we were like, it needs to be short, easy to say, easy to understand. I got to tell you, there's a 1,000% difference, and I'm already feeling it, and it'll happen even more as we open. You know, we had such a barrier to inviting people to church. When you would just bump into people. My dad's nurse, my dad was bragging about me to his nurse when he was in the hospital with COVID. And he's a good dad. And And she asked me when I came by once to bring him a change of clothes or whatever. And I used to cringe when I had to answer that question. Well, where's your church? What church is it? It's like, again, hard to say, hard to find, hard to remember. I got to use it for the first time where I went. It's called Verbatim Church. We're opening in the mall in February. It was so simple, so easy. And she might not remember verbatim, but it's pretty hard to forget there's a church in the mall in Albany. And she also happened to be a Cutlass fan, so I think that locked it into her head a little more. My dad was bragging on that too. So. But I just go, it's so nice. And again, not for our own shine or exposure, but just to say, you know, we're teaching the word and we're worshiping in spirit and truth. And we have a grace community that we want to let people know they're invited to. And so it's just, you know, it's so nice to feel that we're going to be easy to find. Like you said, right on the bus line. Can't miss us.
Pastor Kyle Mitchell is the lead pastor of Verbatim Church at the Heritage Mall, launching in Albany, Sunday, February 7th. All the information is at verbatim.church. That's verbatim.church. More with Kyle Mitchell next on The Georgine Rice Show. I'm Mike Lee, filling in for Georgine.
You're listening to The Georgine Rice Show podcast. It's aired on 93.9 KPDQ.
Welcome back to The Georgine Rice Show. I'm Mike Lee filling in. Pastor Kyle Mitchell leads Verbatim Church, and it's launching at the Heritage Mall in Albany, Sunday, February 7th, starting at 10 a.m. So make sure that you make it down to the Heritage Mall. And if you can't, they'll also be live streaming the service. The website is verbatim.church. That's verbatim.church. Well, you're certainly taking church into the marketplace by your move to the Heritage Mall in Albany. That's really exciting, Kyle. I'm so very happy for you. Bringing the church to the people at the Heritage Mall, even.
That's right. Yeah, and I'm an Albany kid, so it's extra weird for me. Like I said, our whole kids' wing in our cafe, when it opens, called The Verb, it's in the Tilt Arcade that I played in as a kid, you know, so I'm having all kinds of nostalgic feelings. Maddie, my worship director, he worked at Sears, and so the space we're in used to just be a big part of Sears warehouse, and he used to drive forklift in there. So like where he's going to be now leading the congregation in worship, he used to drive forklift, you know. So we have a lot of connecting tissue to this, and we're all from here, and we've all chose to stay here to really invest in our city and see revival.
So I wonder what arcade game or pinball machine was in the place there. You're bringing worship to the Heritage Mall.
The kids' wing. I know the breaker panel in the kids' wing, all the breaker panels are still called the names of the games, and I'm never going to change that, man. I'm like, that's so cool.
What, you got the Tempest and Space Invaders or Donkey Kong Wing?
That's right. That's right, man. Little Ninja Turtles. I'm a hoop shoot master. I'm all about the hoop shoot. That's my jam.
Got to use the backboard.
That's right. It's all about the bank shot. You know, see, you know.
So, Kyle, give us the big picture for someone who might be stumbling upon Verbatim Church for the very first time and says, you know what? Maybe, just maybe, I'll go to this very first launch service, 10 a.m. Sunday, February 7th at the Heritage Mall for Verbatim Church. What should one expect at a Verbatim Church service?
Yeah, so we're a Calvary Chapel, so if that means anything to you. If it doesn't, that just means, man, we're casual in our you know, outward things, but we're pretty serious with the inward things. So that means you can wear whatever you want to wear. I preach in a hat. I pray with my hat on. You know, we're kind of real casual on the churchianity stuff, but we take Christianity very serious, which means I preach long. You know, I preach an hour-long sermons. We just love the word, but we're very casual, very loving. It is a place where, at least we like to think, man, grace is on display. So we got all kinds of people from all sorts of backgrounds, not just in the pews, but in the in leadership, on stage, man. We got broken people. That's all of us. We were just talking as a team. It's like Gideon there, you know, when he broke the pots, the broken places, the cracks, that's where the light got out. And that's how we are, man, that the light of God shines brightest through the cracks in our lives and brokenness. So, and we got divorced people, and we got people that have had all kinds of issues and abuse and addictions. And, you know, we're real people, just trying to do our best to love Jesus. So we try our very best to make our church a hospital. It's not a Christian clique. It's not a social club. It's not a place that you got to worry about the Joneses. We're just a place that, again, we love the word. We love each other. We love the Lord. We're sinners in desperate need of a Savior. And we come in each week to get bandaged up and to get fed and to be nourished by the Lord, to go back out and fight in this world another week. So it's just, yeah, it's a place that you can come and be accepted. It's a come as you are, but not stay as you are gospel that we preach. God loves you too much to let you stay the way you are, but you can come to him just how you are right now. So we're doing our best, man, just to love on people and give great, meaningful content and have it be in a beautiful, comfortable place. And just to do our best to show people grace until the Lord returns.
I so love your transparency, Kyle Mitchell, lead pastor of Verbatim Church. And I hope and pray that people coming to the launch service Sunday, February 7th, can see that honesty at this Heritage Mall in Albany location, can see a perfectly imperfect bunch of people loved by a sovereign God who wants nothing more than for us to receive all he's got in store for us. So have there been any parts of the Bible that you think God's leading you to start off this Verbatim church service with?
Yeah, we actually are tweaking our model that we've done historically. You know, we've always done even what, again, my pastor Brett Metter showed me, which is we're going through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, canonized order, a little kind of a snapshot of where we are on Sundays, and then the Skip Nothing Study Wednesdays. We did just switch that up, though. We are going to be doing more thematic series type stuff on Sundays. Could be whole books or chunks of books or themes. So we're actually opening week. I planned it to be our final sixth study in a series we've been doing called Getting Our Acts Together. So it's kind of us saying, hey, we're getting ready to open the church again. Let's go back to the first church in the book of Acts to remind ourselves the origin story of the Christian church and say, hey, we want to do what they, we want their results, right? Where thousands were added to the kingdom and people were added to the church daily. We want their results. So it stands to reason to emulate their methods. And so we've been studying Acts 2:40 through 47. So our opening week will be the sixth one of that, where it says that they were steadfast and they were gathering in the temple and house to house. So we're going to be talking about gathering for our first gathering and the importance of that. Then we're going to be jumping into a series called Right Side Up. So we're going to be taking kind of a big picture Bible look at how, sin in the garden turned the world upside down, and the empty tomb in that garden began to turn the world right side up, and how the first church in Acts all the way to us today, through Jesus' example, we're called to live radically different than culture, to turn, the haters of the first church accused them in the scriptures of turning the world upside down, but we know that they were turning the world right side up. So we're going to say, I haven't even fully written that whole thing and how many weeks it's going to be, but too much construction going on behind, but that's where we're going next. We want to start our time in the mall, making sure people know we're not changing our message. We're not going to turn down the volume. We're not going to turn down the raw, hard-hitting truths of the scripture just because we're in a secular venue now, that we're going to continue to be who we are, that we're here to be in culture but not of it, and we're to turn up and show the world how we have a radically different alternative to how to think and how to live and how to behave, so that when they get to the end of their rope, the end of their plan, their way of living, and they're actually looking for something else, that we're not trying to evangelize the world by being just like it. So something along those lines is where we're going next. It's going to be called Right Side Up Sunday mornings, and just looking at how the disciples and how Jesus turned the world right side up. So that's where we're going next.
If you've ever enjoyed the congregation at Deaver Connor Calvary Chapel, they and lead pastor Kyle Mitchell are moving, so you can catch them at their launch service, 10 a.m. Sunday, February 7th. Verbatim Church's very first time at the Heritage Mall. They'll also be live streaming, so make sure that you check out the website verbatim.church. That's verbatim.church, also found on Facebook. Kyle Mitchell, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. All the best with Verbatim Church. And is there anyone you want to say hi to?
Oh, boy, just to the whole squad. We've jumped in a foxhole together this last year to see a church survive. So to Maddie and Tanner and my wife Karen and Mariah and Cassie and Josh and just the whole squad that's put it together and put in the work, and our whole congregation that keeps tuning in and sharing and just sticking together as a family through these difficult times. We look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks so much, Pastor Kyle Mitchell of Verbatim Church at the Heritage Mall in Albany, Sunday, February 7th, starting at 10 a.m. I'm Mike Lee filling in. Thanks for listening to The Georgine Rice Show.
You're listening to The Georgine Rice Show podcast. It's aired on 93.9 KPDQ.
This is Mike Lee filling in for Georgine Rice, and you're listening to The Georgine Rice Show.
And I'm very excited to get not one, but two guests together. So welcome lead pastor John Rosensteel and pastor of Care and Justice, Denise Douglas of New Hope Church. How are you today, John and Denise?
Doing great. Thanks for having us, Mike.
Yeah, I'm doing well, too. Thank you, Mike. Good to be back with you.
It's a pleasure to have us aboard. And exciting news is New Hope Church that we're so used to seeing up on the hill in Happy Valley right off of I-205 has a new location, which is Southeast Henderson Street, just east of Southeast 105th near Willamette National Cemetery in Portland, which was formerly Mount Scott Church of God. So, Pastor John, how did all of this come together?
Oh, that's a big question, Mike. I think it was for New Hope. I've been there about 6 years, and working with our team, it was a couple year process of discernment. And, when I came in over those first couple of years, New Hope kind of entered a season of, we called it rebirth, kind of prayerfully determining who we are called to be in this next season and chapter of New Hope's long storied and fruitful history. And so as we processed that, the building kept on coming into the narrative, in that we were grateful for it, but it's a really large building. As I know you're familiar with that, Mike, and we were still a decent sized church, but just a lot of square footage, to take care of. And, there was some money owed on it. And, the end of the most important piece of how the building came into our narrative was we were spending about 40% of our budget on the building each month. And, that's in keeping it up. It's a 40-year-old building and, debt and all this kind of things, staff to take care of it. So we just didn't feel like that's the kind of church God was calling us to be. And we kind of started rallying around this idea of not being settlers, but being pioneers. And that was very much the beginning of New Hope's story with Dale Galloway planting the church and having some of the first services really all over, but at one point in a drive-in movie theater. And we really loved that about the heart of the church, and that was captivating to all of us God had called in this season to lead the church. So we didn't know exactly what that meant, but we felt led to begin to see how we could steward our land and our building. While we were spending a lot of money taking care of it, we knew it was also valuable. So we hired some experts and started looking into all different kind of options and position the church for God to come in and do multiple different things. We really didn't know what God was going to be up to. So long story short, an unexpected opportunity came when Our Lady Louvain Catholic Parish, which was formerly located in the northeast part of Portland. Not many people, I can't say not many people, but I wasn't aware of their presence, but they're about a 5,000 person Vietnamese Catholic church. And while our building wasn't perfect for where we felt God was leading us, it ended up being really perfect for them. They were crunched into a really small space in the northeast. I think they were having 12 masses a day. And we started those conversations, really kind of came out of the blue. I say out of the blue in air quotes, because I think God has definitely been authoring this story. And so that, that process, it's a big sale and it takes a while to kind of nail down all those details. So that was like 6 or 8 months of a lot of hard work, a lot of our team investing prayer and time and energy and sweat into that. And God was just so faithful in that. So we ended up closing with them. They bought our building, and we ended up moving out during the pandemic, which was really interesting and a challenge we didn't expect. We had been planning to move temporarily into Clackamas High School and do services there. We were really excited about that, kind of getting out into the community. And obviously with the pandemic and the uncertainties of school and all that. So we kind of joke, if there's any time not to have a building, I guess it's during a pandemic. But so we started doing church online, like most churches, and trying to figure that out. And we had a good chunk of money left over from the sale that we were going to re-steward in a new home, home that would be a better fit for our mission. And we kind of had a list of things we were looking for. So that brings us to Denise in Mount Scott. The Monday after Easter, I get an email from Denise, and she, I'd never met Denise. I'm bummed by that because she's awesome. And she kind of reached out and was a little nebulous in kind of what she was reaching out for, but it was intriguing. And she was sharing that, Mount Scott had been on this journey, almost a similar journey to New Hope, trying to figure out what to do with their land and building. And they had some plans in place. And the pandemic came in and kind of threw a wrench into those plans. So they were back to square one, prayerfully trying to determine what God wanted them to do. And I don't want to speak for Denise, but I think this is accurate. You can correct me, Denise, if I'm wrong, but I think the Spirit of God just put New Hope on her heart. There'd been a close relationship in the past, and Denise knew of New Hope, and it kept her eye on things. She knew we were relocating. So she reached out, and I think essentially to see if our two journeys could combine in any way. And so, she was intrigued by looking at what we were looking for in a building and seeing how well it matched up with Mount Scott's property and facility. So that was kind of the low-hanging fruit of the conversation. But quickly, it transitioned into a conversation on whether we would be better together as a church, whether Mount Scott might join up with New Hope and become what we've affectionately called the new Hope. So I'll stop there. I've talked for a while. Denise, you can correct anything I've said that's wrong.
No, I think that was a succinct and good picture of how this all came about.
So Denise, you had no prior connection to John Rosensteel or to New Hope before this point?
I wouldn't say that quite that way. I didn't know John well. I attended service since he had been there when Fred and I were on vacation. We enjoyed our time there. But no, I've kept my eye on New Hope since the 80s when I first came to town, because they're just such a giving church, and they're just always doing something new and helpful to the community. I've gone, took leadership from Tiger Church of God over there for training around small groups. So, no, I've been very aware of New Hope my whole time in Oregon. And as John said, just I knew they were walking through some changes and some for reasons similar to our own. I think, Mike, the last time you and I talked, that I've had more fun in ministry in the last 5 years here at Mount Scott than I'd had in my whole journey, just because we really found our niche. We found a way to start building relationships outside the walls, and we loved what we were doing, but we did have this weight on our shoulders of a building that was larger than we needed, property. And so we had, as John said, been exploring some other options that fell through because of the pandemic. And I do believe it was a nudge of the Holy Spirit during a prayer time one morning, the day after Easter, when I thought about New Hope and thought, wonder how their journey is going, and looked on their webpage and saw the relocation and what they were looking for. And, it's one of those rare times I just felt the tingle up the spine, just thinking, wow. The only thing I thought at that moment is there a conversation that needs to happen between our two congregations? And that's when I reached out to John.
Follow New Hope Church at New Hope PDX on Facebook, Instagram, and Vimeo, and check out the website newhopepdx.org. That's newhopepdx.org. When we return, more about the new New Hope Church with John Rosensteel and Denise Douglas.
This is Mike Lee filling in for Georgine Rice, and you're listening to The Georgine Rice Show.
You're listening to The Georgine Rice Show podcast. It's aired on 93.9 KPDQ.
This is Mike Lee filling in for Georgine Rice, and you're listening to The Georgine Rice Show.
With John Rosensteel and Denise Douglas. John is the lead pastor of New Hope Church, and Denise is the former lead pastor of Mount Scott Church of God, who now is pastor of Care and Justice at New Hope Church, which is located on Southeast Henderson Street, which is the former location of what was once called Mount Scott Church of God. I hope that's not too confusing, friends, but welcome, Denise, and welcome, John. Thanks so much for spending time with us today. So what is the new New Hope looking like today?
Yeah, that's a great question, Mike. I think, I want to make a point. I think when people hear this story, and a lot of your listeners are hearing it for the first time, they're going to immediately think, oh, this is about buildings. And yeah, it'd be it'd be disingenuous to say that buildings weren't a part of that, because as I shared, kind of wrestling with where our building, our former building, fit into our mission was a key part of the catalyst that led us to where we are. And certainly Mount Scott's building and property fitting well what we felt like we needed is a piece, but I guess you'll just have to trust us, your listeners will have to trust us, that that's not been a major piece. You know, quickly, we kind of stopped talking about the building. I don't think that came up much for a few months, and we began to talk about, you know, what we got coached into calling an adoption. There's all different kinds of mergers, and we don't need to get into that. But this is known as an adoption merger. New Hope would be adopting Mount Scott. And I think then, you know, we got some really smart people around us that knew what they were talking about, because I had no idea. And Denise maybe knew more than me, but I felt like out over my skis a little bit. And so, you know, what the scriptures say, you get wise people around you. So we got some wise people around us, and we hired a consultant that walked with us. We formed a joint merger team. And yeah, the story really is less about the building. I mean, we're starting to talk about how we're going to remodel that now, and we're excited about those things. Those things matter for the kingdom. I don't want to dismiss that, but I think we're most excited about joining up together and being a church that's better together. There was, we instantly discovered there was massive synergy theologically, philosophically, just how easily we would laugh around each other and feel comfortable. It felt like old friends coming together. That doesn't answer your question, Mike, but I wanted to make sure to get that point in, because it's an important point of the story from my perspective. I don't know if you would agree with that, Denise.
I do, and I think, again, that's really well said, John. It kind of almost expected the conversation to end each time we talk, because I thought, okay, we're going to hit something that we just go, okay, no, our views and our values are so different, but that just didn't happen. We just kept being led to the next step and the next step, because as John said, the synergy was there. Surprisingly, wonderful story of just surprising, what do I want to say, just our shared philosophy of getting outside the doors, and our heart for Jesus, and our heart around equality, and just, we just kept finding more and more things to get excited about, that it truly could be a better together story.
I'm so encouraged to hear this, Denise and John, especially because at one point I was involved in a church plant that had launched, and I deliberately asked the question, these other people who used to be in our same Bible study started their own church plant. So rather than have all of these different little church plants launch from coffee houses or hotel dining rooms and things like that, why don't we ever get together? Why don't we ever see if there is any synergy between us, or if we're all reinventing the same wheel?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it looks like your congregations are really starting to mesh very well. So if there was something from what used to be the Mount Scott Church of God side that New Hope lacked, John, what would you say that you're happy to have as part of the new New Hope?
I'll answer that question in just a second, but I just want to affirm what you said, Mike. I think it's been something Denise and I and our teams have talked about a lot in a time, at least in my lifetime, of unprecedented division, where my heart literally aches for that. You know, followers of Jesus are called to bring unity and bring peace, and to be part of a story in the midst of so much division that was all about unity and all about coming together has been really amazing. It's been a tonic for my soul, and I would encourage, if other pastors are listening out there, and other, I'm sure there are, to consider this. You start to hear these stories popping up around the country now. I'm hesitant to say anything good comes out of the pandemic, but I know theologically that's not true, that God comes into the worst situations and brings beauty out of it. And so I'm trying to lean in the midst of, while we're still at a really dark season of this pandemic, to see where God's at work. God certainly is. And one of the stories I've heard is, out of necessity, sometimes it's economic, sometimes it's logistical, churches are being forced into this conversation. And Willamette Church has been a huge friend of us in this process. Chris Yarko from Willamette, their lead executive, has been our consultant, and Willamette's done several of these adoptions. And it was so awesome to learn from them, and just to be part of a story of unity. So I just want to encourage people to begin to think this way. Sometimes God's going to encourage you to launch a new thing, and you got to be responsive to that. There's church plants are awesome and those kind of things, but how about the opposite? How about for reasons of being better together, we start to come together and we share resources and we strengthen one another. It's a beautiful story. It can be messy. And, you know, we're not naive that as we're starting to come together and meet together, hopefully in a few weeks for the first time in person, that there won't be messiness. That would be naive. But man, thus far, it's been more awesome than not. So to answer your question, Mike, that's a great question. You know, New Hope in our rebirth, we literally were resetting culture. We reset our mission. We reset a lot. I think that it's fair to say, and this isn't a pejorative in any way, shape, or form to what preceded me. It's just different. God does different things in different times and different seasons. Our church, 6 years in now, is a totally different church than it was 6 years ago. And so one of the things that New Hope was needing in this transition is that, I think over, at least I don't have numbers, now, but right prior to the pandemic, about 55% of our church had come in the last 5 years. So that's a pretty big number, and 25% in the last year. So think about that, a quarter of our church, and, we're not a small church, had come in the last year. So yeah, there's excitement there, but there's also like, there's maybe a little lack of solidity, right? Who we deal with, getting to know people, leadership, and Mount Scott, I joke with Denise, maybe she's hiding all the people who aren't mature, but like, everybody we've met from their staff to our gatherings have just been bold. So to bring in so many faithful saints that are mature and godly, I mean, who wouldn't like that, right? I mean, that's amazing. That's going to be a huge gift. And even have somebody of Denise's caliber, I can't wait to all the things I'm going to get to learn from Denise. I mean, she's been in ministry for quite a while, and she's got tons of experience, and she's way better at me at a lot of things. And so to kind of sit at her feet and learn and have her be part of our team, we're bringing 6 Mount Scott staff on. That's just another blessing. I mean, how awesome is that to strengthen our team in this season? So I could go on and on, but off the top, those are the things that really get me excited. And then as Denise said, their outward focus, that's very much our desire. Not that we want to grow deep. I think that's a false dichotomy to kind of say, are you a discipleship church or an outreach church? You got to be both, right? They work together hand in hand. And so we take seriously discipleship, and our mission is follow Jesus and share his love. So, the follow Jesus part is growing deep as disciples. But if we are, that's going to automatically propel us outside the walls of the church into the community to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Mount Scott needed no convincing of that. They were leading the way in that. And so to bring those kind of mission-minded people into our church to be part of our team is incredible.
Make sure to follow New Hope Church at New Hope PDX on Facebook, Instagram, and Vimeo. And check out the website newhopepdx.org. That's newhopepdx.org. Well, thank you so much for your time. Lead Pastor John Rosensteel and Pastor of Care and Justice Denise Douglas of New Hope Church. And let's say your church pastor or leader is going through difficulties right now. I encourage you to pray fervently to God about what new directions he might be taking you in, and to be open to the Holy Spirit's prompting of leading you there. And maybe, just maybe, it'll end up in an adoption merger or something different. You never know. But God knows, and he's good.
Filling in for Georgine, I'm Mike Lee on The Georgine Rice Show.
Thanks for listening to The Georgine Rice Show podcast. If you'd like to download a podcast of the show or would like more information on today's guests, please visit the show at kpdq.com or on Facebook. Follow the show on Twitter at @GRiceShow and like us on Facebook. And join us live every weekday at 4 for more critical thinking for critical times on 93.9 KPDQ.